Yeah, good morning everyone. The ones over here, the ones on the computers. It's nice to be able to come back in person, to be able to talk live to people, to see some real faces as well. When I was asked to speak today, I was told today to talk to Thomas. It made the in Chassidus of in Rishon Chassidim, Sadegera Chassidim, Chof Gimel Tammuz was a whole Yom Tov. So I'm sure nobody will mind with Tzai Levis L'Spiris Chassidim, instead of Islam Asa, the history, a little bit what happened. And we could take out Murdik Elimidim from the story, so we'll try and bring out a couple of points. The Eshe Sadegera Rebbe was the second son of the Heilige Rishna, and he took over more or less in the Heilige Rishna. The Heilige Rishna Nifta, he was the oldest son who stayed alive and carried on. And he had an empire of Chassidim, who was a Rebbe which had tens of thousands of Chassidim. And the Maskilim weren't very happy about it. The Maskilim then were very powerful and very strong, and they tried to do whatever they could in order to bring down the Elohim, whatever they could do. And one day, they managed to get their way. There was a Yid, the Rebbe lived in Sadigeh. Sadigeh in those days was in Austria. The borders used to change in Europe. When you got a breakfast, it was a different border than it was, and it was supper the night before. But at that time, right now it's in Ukraine, but then Sadigeh was in Austria, and the Rebbe was in Austria, and one of his Hasidim, who lived in Russia, unfortunately had a printing press to forge money in his basement. And the Russian soldier, the Tsar, whatever it is, they caught this fellow and they did a thorough search through all his property. And one of the things which they found amongst his property was a letter from a roof from a certain town also in Russia, who that letter said that I've sent your kvittel onto the Rebbe in Sadigeh. And the Rebbe took gevinshin, the Rebbe blessed you, the shtab lots of atzlucha, the parnusa, everything that you need. Oh, that means that the Rebbe knew exactly what this person is doing. So they went to search this house of this roof in this other town that sent this letter onto this chusid, who was called Chaykel. And they went there and they found a letter from the Gabba, from the Sadigeh Rebbe's Gabba, saying, I gave over the kvittel from Chaykel, Ben, whatever it was, to the Rebbe. And I gave over his pidyonos, and he sent with a receipt that the Rebbe Taka received the pidyonos, received the money. So they already tied up the whole plot. Not only is the Rebbe involved, not only is he clinching bruchas, but he's even getting paid part of the commission. You can see, he sent a pittance to the Rebbe. So therefore, he's all part of the plot. It was a perfect excuse they had. And Russia had a long-standing grudge against the Rishon, because the Heilige Rishon was thrown into prison because the Tsar Nikolai Maximov Zikhroi thought that he assumed that the Heilige Rishon, because he used to fear with the Tsar Malchistik, he used to have like the whole kingdom. So he went and thought that the Heilige Rishon wants to overthrow him, and he threw the Heilige Rishon into prison for 2 years, nearly 2 years, 22 months. And then Nissen, the Heilige Rishon managed to escape, and he went over the border and he came to Sadigeh. That's how he got saved. But since that day, Russia didn't let any of the Rishon kinder live in Russia anymore. So now they finally caught the Rishon's son, one of the Rishon's sons himself, in a plot. So they sent over an official complaint, an official request to the Austrian Empire, please hand us over Sadigeh Rebbe and put him in prison. And it went back and forth, but in the end, the Austrians themselves put the Rebbe into Tfisa. In Chernowitz, Sadigeh is right next to Chernowitz, it was a big fortress over there. Now sometimes we think of prisons, we look around and we see this multi-million pound buildings built, nice in the five-star hotels. The prisoners now have a high life compared to what used to be in the olden days. It was a dungeon, Kipshitke Mashmoy, and the Rebbe was thrown into a dungeon. If you can think nowadays of any good ladur, you can picture in our mind, imagine we'd be arrested and thrown into prison. Not just such a prison, but a prison we don't see the day of life. He was thrown into prison in a little cell. It was about Pesach Sheni time in 1856, Tuf Teresh Tazayin, and the Rebbe suffered tremendously. Tremendously. They put him into a little cell together with one goy, a real low life, a posh Yisroel, and this fellow made the Rebbe's life a misery, whatever he could. There was no room to sit, to lie, whatever there was. And the Chassidim obviously were trying to do whatever they could to help out, to ease the matzav a little bit. With lots of shoicha, they managed to arrange that which allows a chair into the cell, a sofa, a chair, somehow like some type of a soft chair, which allows the cell, the Israel to sit down at least. And this Pasha Yisroel, this guy who was with him, he knew that the Rebbe was a Heilige Yid, you could see that straight away. So as soon as this chair came in, he etched into the chair a shape of a cross. And he knew it's all his. And that was the end of that. The Rebbe didn't have that either. He used to stand in the corner for hours and hours every day, facing the corner, davening and learning and doing his Avodas Hashem. And there used to be bells of the Timur. Next to Chernobyl was the bell. There was a big churches, big timers next to them. They used to be constantly belling, and the Rebbe didn't want to hear. He was standing the whole day davening with his hands in his ears. And that's how it went a long, long, long time. Until one day the Rebbe was davening on a Monday or a Thursday, and he was saying, "Nechshavni katzoy natevach yivol la'arig la'abig la'mak lecherpa," and Tzichroski lost like a vine. He came out a cry from him. Then it's Tzichmechaz again, and he said, "The grace of Simcha v'chol zois Shimcha lo shkochni, with everything we haven't forgotten your name." That minute, this guy who was with him in the cell fell to the floor. He started screaming and screaming. "The Rabbi is tearing me to pieces. The Rebbe is tearing me to pieces." And banging on the cell door and making a ruckus. So the guards came running in, they pulled him out. And since then it was a little bit easier. After 15 months, the Rebbe was let out of prison. It's very interesting how it happened. It was a diplomatic relationship between Russia and Austria. It wasn't so pushed. The Hasidim got Sir Moses Montefiore involved. He was, I don't know exactly how old, but he was nearing 100 years old at the time. And he was in England. And he travelled specially with his wife from England the whole way to Vienna, and it wasn't like getting on a plane nowadays, until he came there and he explained to them who we're talking about and what we're talking about, and because of his diplomatic status and the chushu person that he was, they released the Rebbe from prison. That was, in short, a very short nutshell, what went on. That was, he was let out on today, Chuf Gimel Kislev, and Tuf Reish Yud Zayin, 1857. And that day always became a Yom Simcha and a Yom Tzehula. In Chassidus Hadigeh, Chassidus Rishon, it was always a Beresi Yontif. But something which happened while he was in prison, which is mind-boggling, and the kiddush, which the Rebbe said, which I want to bring out and give us some word to get chizik, especially with the matzah which we're still in nowadays. He was an item, the Sadigeh Rebbe was an item by Rebbe Aaron from Kalin. There was two Rebbe Aaron Kalinas. There was one Rebbe Aaron Agudel Mikalin. He had an angel called also Rebbe Aaron, who wrote a sefer, Beis Aharon. But this is the Sefer Beis Aharon from the Kalina Rebbe. And in this, the Beis Aharon went to visit his Shveh, his Eidim in prison. I was also a Chassidim of Tzichgelas Kasten. They bribed and bribed and bribed. I was still something that still did something in those days. You could bribe your way to get here and there. I managed to bribe that the Rebbe should be able to visit, the Beis Aharon should be able to visit his Eidim in prison. When he saw the Sirus Adhurim, when he saw what type of conditions his Heilige Eidim is, what he saw, instead of sitting in his empire with hundreds, thousands of chassidim, he used to be Kodesh Kedushim, he used to have... And that he is now in the depths of dungeons with all types of worst condition that could be. So the Beis Aharon gave a question, he asked his Eidim, "How are you managing? How are you coping with such an experience? How are you surviving over here?" He answered him with six words. "Mali hucha, mali husam. What does it make a difference if I'm here or if I'm there at home?" And it's very easy to say, but if we think through what he said and spoil it a little bit, it's impossible for us to grasp such a thing. A person who's in the depths of dungeons, and he said, "There's absolutely no difference to me if I'm over here or if I'm back home again with all my mishpucha, with all my chassidim, the kenotim and avodas Hashem, with my minyan, with davening, with tefillas, but can help chassidim. It's absolutely the same." And this nekida, I think, is something which we think into a little bit. Avada, we've just said something which is an extremely high darga. It's a darga which we can't even chulam of. We can maximum, we can say, Musa magia masa, the masa voisai, as the tzfurim tachuk, Musa magia means the lushan of reaching, not reaching, but touching, the lushan of negia. When would it be possible to touch the masa of the ubis? If we have some type of a touch to this type of darga which the Rebbe was talking about, it's a great chizik, because we can all have this type of atmosphere in our own lives. Mali hucha, mali husam. What is the difference if we're here over there? What's the word? What's pshat in those words? Pshat in those words isn't that it was exactly the same for the Rebbe. He was as comfortable in a cell as he was at home. He could have a dominion in a cell like he could have in a home. He had his shofar and he had his whatever, machulas akash. Avada nesh, Avada wasn't the same life. It was clear, it was not the same life, and Avada he suffered. I'm going to carry on the story later. He suffered so much that he became deathly ill after he came out of prison. But his one thing was the midas shtavus. It's exactly the same for me. I put on this world to do what the Eibishter wants. If the Eibishter wants me to sit at home, and he wants me to daven 3 times a day b'minyan, and he wants me to learn, and he wants me to have menichas hanefesh, that I can concentrate and I can serve him with toich menicha, then avada, that's what I'm going to do in this world. That's what I want to do. If chas v'shulam, it's being nigzer, for whatever reason it is, that I'm meant to be on this world for a different purpose, right now I'm meant to be doing something else, right now I'm meant to be in a very uncomfortable situation, I'm meant to be in a painful situation, I'm meant to be in a discomfortable situation, it doesn't change my purpose and my tafkid and my tachas of what I'm meant to be doing. We're soldiers, Yiddishik kind are soldiers, and we've been put here to do what we're told. And if the Rebbe felt that if he's been put in prison, it's mali hucha mali husam, and Avodas Hashem is exactly the same. Even though if I can't do the Avodas Hashem the same way I was doing it until now, but my Avodas Hashem is zicha the same, doing the same thing as it was doing until now. In this vault, you see also from Kedishas Levi is doing by Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik was thrown into prison. Yeah, Sach Tzadikim were thrown into prison. Sach Tzadikim went through difficult times, especially in those years with the Tsar of Russia. Nebuchadnezzar, lots and lots and lots of Tzadikim, Chassidim, Anshei Maaseh were thrown into prison, especially just for the avayra of keeping Yiddishkeit. But you see, by Yosef HaTzadik was thrown into prison also for no reason at all, absolutely no reason at all, and he was there for many, many years. And the Pusik says a gewaltige lush in the Pusik. By Yidnei al Beis Asoya, Yosef HaTzadik was put into prison. Mukim Asher Asira Melech Asirim, the place where the king's captives were put. By Yehi Shom Beis Asoya, and he was there in prison. Well, we just said he was put into prison. He was put into prison. Why is it saying he was there in prison? It's explained the second time over, he was there in prison. So the Kedishas Levi says, Mamish this vote. So Yosef HaTzadik wasn't looking to run away from his situation. Avadi would have been happy to sit by Yaakov Avinu at home. He was one of the shifty kah, surrounded by his father. Yaakov Avinu was one of the punim of the Merkuba. He was being kabbal toyer from him. We know that he taught, Yaakov Avinu taught Yosef HaTzadik all the toyer that he was mekabbal. He was sitting there amongst a life of ruchnias, a geshmak life. And all of a sudden he was taken out at a young age and thrown through such a mesioinus, 10 years into a dungeon. Yosef HaTzadik is rolled up. He's just gone from the highest spheres until the deepest abyss. And he's sitting there, and what's he doing? If that's what I'm meant to be, that's what I'm meant to be. These words, by Yisham B'Veis HaSoya, is exactly the same words which the Rebbe said, Mali Hucha, Mali Husam. Avad is not to be confused with the Shtadlis. We all know that somebody's in a bad situation. Avad, there's a mitzvah to do a Shtadlis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said we should try and be gezint. The Chashum, somebody's not well, has to do a Shtadlis. You have to try and get better. Sometimes a person finds himself, he doesn't have parnusa, and he's difficult in whatever situation it is. We have a mitzvah to do a Shtadlis. But the mitzvah side Shtadlis, with the frame of mind of being mekabel and being doing what we're meant to be doing at the present moment, has no shaykhus one to the other. Avada, it's very, very hard. We're all human beings, and it can get sometimes so confusing, and the gray area between can be very, very hard to go through. And with the feelings and emotions which happen, it becomes nearly impossible when such situations become very, very hard. But if we're in a situation where we know there is no shtadlis for us to do, well, that sometimes is the easiest time. Because if we know there's no shtadlis to do, then all of a sudden we know we leave go and let Kodesh Baruch Hu do what he's doing, because we know that's the situation we're meant to be in. Just to give it maybe a bring it down a little bit to earth, we know that parnusa and shtadlis are two separate things as well. A person has to work to do parnusa, but that doesn't bring him the money. He can sit and work all day, he can sit and work for an hour, whatever is bashar for him to do a shtadlis. And his money's going to come from the bank account which got replenished on Rosh Hashanah. If you ever go on one of these, you see the kids playing the games, and they like their account when they win at the end of the game, it goes zzzz, all the points like fly up again. Every Rosh Hashanah, that's what happens to our accounts. They get replenished. All of a sudden the numbers go fly up again, they get refilled for the next year. It's got no shaykhus at all to what parnusa are going to be done. There's one psak of how much money we're going to get. There's another psak how much shadows we're going to have to do. There's nothing one to do with the other. So sometimes it comes to a matzav of yontif. Especially when it's Chol HaMoed, you have 7, 8, 9 days of yontif. And we know that we don't have to do shadows. It's the biggest simcha that a person can have. Because very often we get it's very blurry lines between shadows and parnusa. Am I really meant to do this much shadows that I don't need to? We get a break, we get a switch off. Ah, I know that I'm okay. As Zecher can't lose out my panusa if I don't do anything for the next 8 days, whatever it is. Because I'm Zecher, not Mechir, to do a Shabbos right now. So this type of frame mind is also, we have Zecher to have a little bit of an agir. In this darga of Mali Hucha, Mali Husam, a little bit of darga, a little bit of tapping in to our inbuilt amina, which every Yid has in his genetic setup. And we have built into ourselves this of Gevaldige Minna, which we were Yoyers from our parents and Zaydas, and going back out of Doyers. That's our essence of the Yiddish folk. We have a Koyach to be able to tap into this amina. It can help us tremendously. Let's take it down a little bit to what we've been going through over here. There's been difficult times. It is still not completely over. The Shmurchi should help. It should be completely over. It should be out of it. But this type of a matzah was also, it was very anxiety, lots of people full of anxiety, lots of people full of worries. And we try and tap into this message of Mali Hucha, Mali Husam, Avad is the mitzvah of the shtadlus. And whatever the shtadlus was, and whatever the shtadlus is, and Avad, everybody must know and find out what the correct shtadlus is to do, ask his Moyaderich and his Ruv and whatever else it is. But from doing shtadlus, to get into any type of anxiety, to any type of fright, any type of fear, it's got nothing to do with the other. The mitzvah shtadlus doesn't bring fear. If that's my situation I'm meant to be in, so I'm meant to do what I'm meant to do. If I've done what I'm meant to do, I'll be kind to one mitzvah, I'll keep a schaaf doing that mitzvah. And the second situation, whatever situation I'm in, is not my problem. If I've done my shtadlus and somebody comes along and does the opposite of my shtadlus, I'm trying to be careful, and if somebody else has come along and done something to the other opposite of what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to keep myself separated from other people, and somebody else has come along and given a big sneeze in the middle of this medrash. And instead of getting, whoa, what am I going to do? Well, that wasn't your shtadlus. It wasn't kind of your mitzvah's shtadlus. Baruch Hashem for them. And now, what the situation you're in is nothing one to do with the other. And we tap into this, it's more like a chizik, it sets our mind straight, and it sets us into a different ball game where we are. Now, when it comes down to day to day, the big things sometimes are much easier to have this mind frame. But when busy on the way to school, and we're busy on the way to Shiel, and we're going to be late for the Minyan, and this somebody's trying to do a three-point turn in the middle of the road, and they come to the end of the road, and they can't cut into the busy Leicester road, and we get nervous, what's going to be? Again, the situation you were put in before was the situation that Coach Burke wants you. This situation also Coach Burke wants you to be. And the milliseconds, and the 10 seconds, and the hours, and the days, everything in its area is exactly like the betuchim which Eibishter wants from us. Now I've given you a job, this second your job is to do this. Now your avodas Hashem is not to get nervous, now your avodas Hashem is not to get angry. Now Eibishter help me, should always have this avodas Hashem should be in pleasant circumstances, of dem beten zech, of dem versteit zech, we daven, of dem steit, we want, and we ask for the shvurchi, so I'm going to chasudim toivim. What's the notion chasudim toivim? Good chasudim? We ever saw a bad chesed? Friend Chirub, I don't remember who touches it up, but chasudim toivim is chasudim which we can see are toivim. The Heilige the Beditsche of Ruv used to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one of two things, either give us Ruchni Sdika eyes, so we can see the Ruchni Sdika Chasudim, or if you want to give us Fleischige eyes, if you give us physical eyes, then give us physical Chasudim, Chasudim which we can see with our eyes. But to give us Ruchni Sdika Chasudim, which we've got to understand, but you gave us physical eyes, that's when it gets difficult. So Avada, we ask him, we beg for the Bashefesh to give us Chasudim Toivim. But the situation which we're in, and the comfort of knowing Al Kapayim Yisincho, we say so often, Yeshua says Elyon, what's the word Al Kapayim Yisincho? Means HaKadosh Baruch Hu carries us in his arms. Like, it's not hold us by the hand. A father goes around and holds his little child by the hand. The child normally is completely in comfort zone. Doesn't matter where he is. He can be in a dangerous place. As long as he doesn't feel the father trembling through the arm, he's okay. He's holding his father's arm, it's gonna be okay. He can be driving, walking over the most busiest road. He can be in dangerous situations. And kolchkin, you've got a little baby being carried by the parent, by the mother, al kapayim yisincho, held on two hands like this, and hugged. The baby has no worry in the world. Not a single worry in the world. Not what's gonna eat, not what's gonna drink, and definitely no other outside anxieties. And that's what Kodesh Baruch Hu is telling us. We say it the whole time, al kapayim yisincho. And it's carry on the mass of the Rebbe coming out of Tfisa, because the first part was emina naivishter. The next part we say, a gewaldig minna in tzaddikim. We said before, when the Rebbe came out of prison, he became deathly ill. He was there for 15 months in a moist, damp, and dark cell. And finally, when he came out, it wasn't very inducive for good health, and he became very not well. And his situation deteriorated again further and further and further, till his Heilige Brides, the other kind of the Heilige Original, came to visit him from the other towns around. They all came in order to daven and probier also for him, but Eibishter does that he should have a refuge shleima. And the situation though didn't get better, it kept on deteriorating. And in the end, the Heilige Shlefnesh the Rebbe with the Choltke Rebbe, two brothers of the Sadigei Rebbe, came into the Smedrish in Sadigei, and they said as he's calling the whole town, all the Pushta people, till then it was davening all the Elef, the Chesed Tzadikim, all the Elef Chassidim, the Yoshvim used to sit in the Smedrish. Everyone, the whole town, everyone should come and daven to the Rebbe because we're losing it. Tzadikim saw what was going on, we're losing it. And the Beis Medrash became filled, there was a Shmi in town, Marif Alas on Kimon. And everyone came, from the shopkeepers to the wagon drivers, to the Pushta Yidin, to the Elech Yidin. The Beis Medrash was filled from one end to the other, whoever was there. And after a little bit of time, the Shlefnesh went onto the Bima and gave us that clap also and said, it's not working. We have minutes left to save the Rebbe's life. Who is ready to give up his life instead of the Rebbe? As you can imagine, this Medrash went quiet. Deathly quiet, if it's the right word to use, I assume. And the Oilam were contemplating. Within a few seconds, a person has to decide if he wants to stay here or if he wants to move on to the next world. All of a sudden, one Yid jumped up. It was Ramot Chemishl from Linsk. He said, I want to be the Rebbe's Kapurim. And once he said it, once he got one person, there was a whole crowd. I want to. He didn't even live in Sadigei. He lived in Linsk, it was called Ramot Chemishl. And the Shlefnesh Rebbe Zud Ramot Chemishl was the first one. He was Zoichim. And Ramot Chemishl went back to his Achsani where he was staying. And he wrote Tzavu for his Mishpucha. And he started to feel straight away not well. The hours went by. Every hour he started to feel worse. And he heard the Shmir constant update from the Rebbe's house that the Rebbe started to feel better. I don't know if it was that day, the next day, Mot Chemishl, before he was Nifter, he had Kabetan Chav Gadish, bring an Alechayim, Beit Nechsid, bring an Alechayim. Whoever drank Alechayim before somebody's being Nifter, yo, bring Alechayim. Alechayim, the Eibishter should help him, as the Rebbe should have a ganze refir, and I should be Zoicha to a platz, Tachas Kisar Kuvit. And he was Taka Avek, Mot Chemishl, and Sadigai Rebbe had a complete refir. And just to realize the magnitude of what he did this year, the Rebbe lived another 25 years. He was a young person, he was in his 40s, I think, the Rebbe then. He lived another 25 years. A gefeat. Either the Yiddish folk in the Austria at that time, in the whole area, it was the Rebbe of the Rebbes, the Sadigai Rebbe now. And his Yid had Zoyche given. So not long after this story happened, I think about a year later, is the Sadigai Rebbe made Chasana, Azinzana, Shloimenu. And by the Chasana, one of the elder Chassidim from Linz went over to Sadigai Rebbe and told him, Rebbe, maybe the Rebbe would give a matzbaya, would give a coin, you can buy a lechayim, little nishmas from Mot Chemishl. So the Rebbe gave a rifu and said, now you remember about him? I haven't forgotten for him 1 minute. He doesn't need your lechayim. When he came up to Shemayim, they looked at him as a chiddush. When Heilige Tate, the Rishonim, when Manzaida, the Grosser Reb Shulam from Lubish, came to be Makabel pulling him when he came up to Olam HaEmes, doesn't need Yol HaChaim. Is, again, we're talking to extremes, that the Aminas Sadiqim, the Aminas Chachomim, which was shown, which was in the fiber, which is in our fiber of being. We say every morning, we are Aminim Vashem, even Moshe Avdoi. We have a Minna in Ha'ibishter, we have a Minna in Moshe Avdoi. We have a Minna in our Rebbes, we have a Minna in our Tzadikim, we have a Minna in our Chachumim, we have a Minna in our Rabunim. This Aminas Tzadikim, which Ramot Chemishl showed, he didn't just show it, he lived it for a short time, and he lived it now in Netzach Netzuchim for always. And it's his Chizvat, it's in Zeret Nietz, which is Zoyche, that in his Chiz, we brings out the message, which says Aminas Tzadikim. It sounds very extreme. Etzim as well holds this week's Sedra, which also sounds quite extreme, Tatra Bazaar Pusik, but it's the same type of a message. This week's Sedra, we have a mass of Negot, of Bnei Re'ivim, Negot of Bnei Re'ivim, who wanted to stay on the other side of the Arden. They have the Heilige Eretz HaKodesh. They've been waiting for this for so long. They've gone through the Midbar for 40 years without the Oinish L'Meraglim. They finally can go in. All of a sudden they say they don't want to go. So the Pusik tells us, but Bnei Negot of Bnei Re'ivim, They had Mikne Rav, or Mikne Rav Hoyle Bnei Rivel Meigol Utsimoid. They had loads and loads and loads of cattle. So therefore they don't want to go into Eretz Yisroel. It's hard to understand. What do you mean had loads of cattle? So what? You're waiting for something. You're counting down, you've got this countdown timer going on. Not to next week to some trip, but you're going into Eretz Yisroel. You've gone through 400 years of Gulas, of Mitzrayim, which is going to be a Brisbane of Surim. You're going to have to go through 430 years of Ibishuk Zukfa Rumvini in order to get what? In order to get Matan Torah going to Eretz Yisroel. They don't want to go in. So Heilige Rishon attached to the Pusik, Mikne Rav, Oilem Riven of Negod, Mikne Rav. They had a Gevaldig Kinyan Rav in their Rebbe, in Moshe Rabbeinu. They knew, and they had just all heard, Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to be zeicha to go into Eretz Yisroel. Because of the chet of Meimer Riven, he's not going to be able to go into Eretz Yisroel. When they Riven of Negod didn't want to leave Moshe Rabbeinu by himself on the other side of the yard. Mikne Rav. They had a Gevaldig Kinyan in Rav in their Rebbe. And it sounds a bit, okay, that's a real Chassidus Shalom. No, that's like a real extreme Chassidus Shalom. But unbelievably, it's a Rashi in Parshas Ma'aseh. It's a Rashi in Parshas Lo'isa Brucha. Mashvuga Shev Yisroel and Chayle Gimel. Have a look in Tvein Avtzurim. He has a few shtiklech and they write up there Barichas. It's a Rashi in Parshas Lo'isa Brucha. It says when Moshe Rabbeinu gave the bruchas to all the shvutim, it says "Vayar reishis loy kishom chelkas mechoykik sufim." It's in the Devarim Namgim Chufalav. See the Marmukim over here. "Vayar reishis loy." They saw. Rashi says over there on the pusik, "Vayar reishis loy ro little lechelik beard sichem veoyk." Why did Reuven? Why did God? I don't remember if it's Reuven or God. That's one of them. Why did they see to take chelik in Eretz Yichem Ve'oik? She racious kibbush uretz. That's a racious. That was the beginning of the kibbush. Kishom chelkas v'choykik sufer. What do those words mean? This bruch is a very difficult word. Yeah, there's this bruch, we line it. I don't know how many times it's in the story, but it's a difficult word. Ki yoda, asher shomen achalose chelkas soda, because in his chelik, in his soda, is kviras v'choykik v'hi moisha. It's often Rashi even pusik. Actually, Tachat Pushup Shat and Zoysa Brucha. The reason why I think it's going to be Negod over there, the reason why the Shvutim, Reuven and God, wanted to stay on the other side of Eretz Yisroel was plain and simple because Moshe Rabbeinu was buried over there. They were ready to give up Nitzchias, they were ready to give up living in the Paltrin Shemelech, ready to give up living, not just then, but Le'olam Vuad, the whole time that he's not going to be in Eretz Yisroel. And for what? Not even to be next to the Rebbe who's alive. But for the kuvud of their Rebbe, that their Rebbe shouldn't be in the Beis HaChaim, left amongst all to himself.
They knew maybe.
They said that Rashi brings down that the Reduvid Lataz brings down it was a Riecha Kodesh that they had, that they knew Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be in this area.
In
this
area? But not where?
No, they didn't know exactly where
area.
It was. That's right, Nachma. They didn't even know where his cave was going to be. It's not sure they could go to the Tzion. But it shouldn't be amongst an area of going. Neither we look back at what's happening now in Europe, when Nebuch all our Kvurim of Amchu Yisroel, Tzadikim, Gedoylim, and if we're allowed to say such a Lushna, Bala Pusha to Yidin, all be left all by themselves amongst the Goyim. And that's what the Yidin, the Bnei God and Revim are ready to give up. We can take so much lessons from this Aminah Tzadikim, Aminah Sechumim. We know, Baruch Hashem, we have Lebedika Tzadikim, we have Tzadikim and Chassidim, and Chachumim, and Rabunim. We have so much to be koina, we have so much that we can rely on. And there's Zen Azay Grois. See, it's late already. Just to finish off, we always say, Aminas Chachumim. What's a minna? A minna means we believe. So very often, a person's natural instinct is, when you ask something from a Google, and he tells you something, which an answer which you don't really understand. You want to know to do this business venture or not, you want to know to do the shidduch or not, you want to know whether to move somewhere, to go somewhere, and you ask something, and you don't really understand the answer what's coming, and you would have come up with a different solution, you would have thought something else, and we turn around and say, we have to believe. But if we don't understand, sometimes it's very hard to believe. It's a das chachumim, it's a minas chachumim. If I myself can understand the answer, then what do I need the Rebbe for? What do I need the tzaddik for? What do I need the chachumim for? Do I want to have such a small moira derech that I'm capable of understanding him completely? I'm pulling down my own moira derech who I have if I always have to understand what he's telling me. That means I always got to understand. It means I don't want somebody who's bigger than I am. Faket, we have a minna sadiqim, and we have a minna shteitzich in the Eibishter, and very often we don't know, and we don't need to know, because we're soldiers, and we're elachi yidin, and we do what we're told, and the Eibishter helfen. so kennen sein, Jume Meili Hefchi, Besussen mit der Simche, und nicht schon leicht erhöht von dem Tischebau, so sein, ein fleischiger Tischebau, so kennen essen und Geschmack des Siedes, so sein, so kennen sein, bin ich bei Smikdash together.